I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, tonight we have a public meeting regarding the appeal of the director's decision for Laurelwood subdivision. This was continued from our meeting of July 22nd. And at this time, I will turn it over to our legal counsel to brief us on actions tonight.
Good evening. The public hearing is now closed. The record is also closed. Staff will summarize any testimony that's been entered into the record on this appeal before the Planning Commission deliberates on this matter. The applicant, if they're present, will be asked if they would like an equal amount of time to respond to the testimony entered into the record during the latest extension. If no request for extension is made by the Planning the Planning Commission shall consider all of the evidence submitted into the record of this appeal and make sure deliberation as is necessary to conclude this matter by either moving to approve, approve with modifications or deny the decision or the director, approving the Laurelwood subdivision. I'd also like to ask you at this time earlier in the beginning of the hearing, I explained that Oregon land use law requires the council to disclose any ex parte contacts or conflicts of interest related on this matter. At this time, if there are any ex parte contacts that you've had since the previous hearing, you should disclose that. And an ex parte contact is a communication to the decision maker that includes substantive issues regarding the application and occurs outside the public venue. This can also include site visits. So if you had a site visit, that would also be appropriate to disclose.
I had an ex parte contact. After the last meeting, I walked over and just asked them if the staff had been treating them well. And apparently they haven't. But then I had to back away and tell them I couldn't talk to them.
Okay. Any other?
I also have an ex parte contact. I drove by the site to take a look at it.
I actually also drove by the site. I do outside estimations and bids, so I was doing a job up there and saw the area.
No contacts.
Okay. No contacts.
Okay. And I also visited the site. I live in the Mountain Gate area, and I actually visited the site on seven different times during the morning between on my way to work. It's between 7:30 and 8 a.m. and in the evening between 6 and 8 p.m. I drove through the site, and okay. All right. So at this time, staff. You know, we do have a report in relation to some traffic information that was added to the record. And if I could, I'd like to have staff come forward and talk to the commission about that information.
I just wanted to introduce Michael Liebler. He's our transportation planning engineer, and he is responsible for the memorandum that's in your packet that addresses the key intersection in this.
Okay. All right.
Screw this too much. Hello, commissioners. I'm Mike Liebler, transportation planning engineer for the city of Springfield. Would you like me to summarize?
Sure.
As all of you have, I've been out to the site, I think, about four or five times, as recently as tonight, went out there to take a look at operations. The two intersections, the one on 55th connecting with Glacier.
Too tall.
Squat. connecting with Glacier and also with Ivy. They're rather typical intersections, local to local connections that we would see throughout the city. They operate as I viewed them, pretty typically. They had rather large areas. Both areas have parking on both sides. As of right now, I counted 18 existing houses that would use 55th in this section. That would consist of 172 daily trips and around 18 p.m. peak hour trips. With the addition of 25 extra homes, that would be an additional 238 trips and 25 p.m. peak hour trips for a total of 410 daily and 43 p.m. peak. Usually we don't see any volume complaints until somewhere around 1,000 daily trips or 100 peak hours, and this is less than half of that. By a volume sense, this is really well below a threshold for concerns in terms of operations on the local roads and for these intersections. We also take a look at the vehicular sight distance at these locations. Traffic engineering wise, typically we measure about 14 and a half feet or 15 feet back from a travel edge. When we observe this at the locations, given driver eye height at about 3.5 feet, the sight lines are sufficient to see at the Ivy and 55th place all the way to the next intersection of Glacier and 55th, and sufficiently down Glacier at the other locations as well. We also, in addition, checked with PD to see if there were any reported incidents at these locations. So for our database, covering 2003 through 2011, we didn't have any reported incidents. We double-checked with PD as well to get up to present, and they did not have any incidences at these locations that we could draw any conclusions for any safety or operational issues. This is a self-reporting state. So obviously they're in a 25 mile per hour zone. There could be a property damage only that didn't reach a threshold for reporting. But according to our records, we do not have anything there. We did take a look at the slope of Glacier in relation to sun glare and some winter weather conditions, as mentioned in testimony. You know, sun glare happens, I think, throughout our entire city, given east-west streets and their configurations at different times of the year. I'm sure that the slope at this time, you know, has been observed to be that way, but this is kind of a typical condition that we all deal with, and given responsible driver behavior and consideration of, you know, where you're at, you know, being cautious, it's something that's mostly navigable by a large part of the public, and that's something that we typically would mitigate. We did talk with some of the neighbors about working with BPA in terms of maybe putting some screening towards the top of the hill, but BPA doesn't really like having trees underneath their power lines, and we committed to still working with them to see if there's other solutions to help them out in there, and, you know, we have difficulties with that, but, you know, that's a kind of a issue not directly related to the development at hand. We added the intersection, as mentioned by Mark Metzger, our planner, to the list for winter weather events. As it stands right now, if there was a winter weather event and a fire truck or police or emergency vehicle needed to get up into that cul-de-sac, it would not have any secondary emergency access. Because of that, it highlights the need for a secondary emergency access and a needed connection through Ivy, regardless of the proposed development. The slopes coming up there are not the same as coming up Glacier and making an essential route even without the development at hand. I think I have one more topic to express. Alternative routes possible that would negate the need for Ivy. As said before, we need to have a secondary access to Ivy regardless of this development. The route that was proposed before goes across private property, and we do not have the ability or desire to try to compel private properties to build roads. We don't have that, neither does the developer. And in fact, we are also planning, as a stub as shown on the development, to push that through for connectivity in the future as well. So I think that covers most of the topics there. And yes?
Michael, one of the things I noticed when I drove up glacier was the intrusion of the berry vines out in the street. And I know that was in your report.
Yes.
And that's simply a code issue, isn't it? I mean we don't, you wouldn't typically let berry vines intrude into the street. I mean, I had a feeling as if
yeah.
that was forcing traffic somewhat more to the center of the roadway.
Yes, Commissioner. Having looked at the site again, you know, obviously in the report we saw that as well. And it did have the possibility of narrowing the road at that location, which may push traffic a little bit farther closer and flatten out the curve at that location. Private property owners are responsible for maintaining their frontage, and we do have the right as a city to come into the right-of-way to clear that. We went ahead, talked with our maintenance, and as of today, those blackberry bushes are cleared. And the intersection is much wider, providing more of a turning movement available to help remedy that situation. But that is very true. The blackberry bushes were coming out almost to the point of where a parked car would probably be. And, you know, I don't know if blackberry bushes could puncture a tire, but they could be something that would narrow that up and cause it to flatten. So,
that has been addressed.
That has been addressed, Commissioner.
Okay. Yes.
In regard to the intersection of Ivy and South 85th Place,
yes.
is it conceivable at some point in the future when there's increased traffic due to the development
mm-hmm.
that staff may present a request to Public Works to place a stop sign at that intersection?
So in terms of a typical T intersection, by state law, that T is a yield condition. When we put in stop signs and multiple studies as transportation planning engineer and reviewing studies of these sorts, stop signs often are seen as a traffic calming measure as a perception as a whole, but often the studies have shown that AI will actually increase the speeds associated with putting in those stop signs from mid-block locations. It's our policy at these locations to not sign them as stops. It's a pretty typical application that we've seen. A stop sign is just a stop sign, and sometimes it may give an expectancy to people traveling through there that someone is gonna stop. And in an area such as this, which is a local, it's not a high volume place for enforcement, you may put up the perception, and you kind of want people in a local to be aware and alert of their situations. It would be just a sign. It may increase people's desire to move through there at a higher rate of speed, or may not be something that people may follow because they know no one's watching them. And one of the issues that we have is trying not to put up sign clutter, because the more signs that you put up, the more people have to look at numerous signs, kind of the less they look at them. So we really want to prioritize the signs that we have, so that people pay more attention to them. It wouldn't be a recommendation that we have right now. It's definitely something that we could garner further attention once the subdivision came in. And I do believe in the past they've committed to continuing to analyze this area to see what the impacts once the development come into these intersections.
Thank you.
So. One more question. The width of those roadways, those are fairly wide roadways, aren't they? I mean, they're
yep.
built to, I don't know if that's the standard today for width of roadways in a residential.
Yes, it is. We did go out there and measure them, and they are 36 feet wide. So that consists of two 12-foot travel lanes for a drive aisle of 24 feet, and then 8 feet on each side, or 6 feet. Discuss, and that allows for parking on each side of the street,
both sides,
and then also a clear path for all moving vehicles and emergency vehicles going through. So it's they're full width streets, they're full width intersections. They also have sidewalk. We talked about the vision, as you can see. So as you're at the intersection, there's also a sidewalk that brings it back a little bit, which allows you to see even farther. So yes.
Other questions?
Just
Commissioner Moe.
I got spoiled in Australia. They have yield signs there, no stop signs.
Currently, there are no yield signs as well.
I know, I'm just suggesting yield signs are handy sometimes.
Okay.
So, any other questions? Okay, all right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the applicant is not...
The applicant had called earlier and intended to be here on time, but alerted me that they may be a little late, so...
So, legal counsel, should we move forward with deliberation at this time?
Yes, that you may move forward, and I can tell you the applicant did submit some documents that you have in front of you. I can summarize briefly what they are. This relates to the issue of the Liz pendants, which I have provided you advice on. Essentially, one of these documents is a bankruptcy trustee plan of organization. It's how the debts and the assets are organized. I'm not going to speak on behalf of the applicant and interpret it, but that is what one of these documents is. And then the other document is an injunction to the court that Ms. Parmenter submitted, and at the back of that document is a dismissal, and that was referenced in earlier discussions that I have had with you, attorney-client discussions.
Okay, well, at this time, then, we'll move into deliberations. Discussions?
I can't get my computer to come up. So I'm going to do a little bit by memory here. The one of the big problems was the traffic that they're afraid of. And there's a future connection going out the other way. And I'm hoping that in our recommendation that we come up with tonight, that we encourage that go through as soon as possible. And then they have the second emergency route to all of them. Got to remember that not only will the new project be using that street, but the present people will also be able to use that. So it's going to go both ways when it's done.
I'll just address one of the conflicting issues, sort of biting off a small chunk to begin with, in regard to one of the elements of the appeal was notification. And I think there was a valid concern about the initial mailing and the coverage that it provided. And I think that issue was remedied with the subsequent mailing that covered an area beyond the scope of requirements. So I don't feel that that's a valid issue at this point after that remedy was finished.
And also an extension of the time frame. Right. Is that correct? Yes.
Yes. Extension of the comment period.
Extension of the comment period. Okay. Other comments? Johnny?
I was going to just kind of talk to the citizens as a citizen, and that's what the Planning Commission is. It's a liaison between citizen and staff, and I just want the citizens to know that it's not a unique situation. This morning, driving to work, I live in the Thurston Hills, and every time I turned east, I was blinded by sun. Every morning I go to work. So it's not a unique thing that's happening, but let me preface before I go any further that safety is very important, and I really feel 8 years being on the Planning Commission that the staff, their integrity is such that that's one of the main things that they look at. Everyone I know on the staff is very, very good quality people with great integrity. So I wanted you to know, I know where you're at, I know what you're feeling. Winter storms, I live 11 blocks up off of Main, 1,000 feet up, and there were probably 7 days where we had to four-wheel, we couldn't walk. We had to walk, I mean, we couldn't drive up and down 11 blocks. So I understand that as well, but every time that we moved into a subdivision and where we live now, We'd been there 17 years. We were the first house there, and I thought, wow, this is great. I had a beautiful view of Camp Creek across the valley. No house, now it's just all full. But then again, I knew that I couldn't slow up progress and development. It's gonna happen, but those are just some things that I wanna share that I've been in the same place, you know. Two houses, I've actually been the first development, the first house, and saw it grow up around me. So you just have to be aware that development is continuing. And I know that's not the issue. The biggest issue is safety, and I totally can see that. And I really believe Hayden, they're good people. They've built a lot of homes, and I think they're gonna go out of their way to make things as safe as they can as they're building the development. So I just wanted to kind of throw that in.
Other comments?
Well, I'll add one other comment that follows up on what Commissioner Moe was talking about as far as the alternate access point. I really feel that at the time that becomes a full service, fully accessible street, that I think probably a majority of the people in this new subdivision will use that route as opposed to Ivy. Because really, I don't think, I mean, oftentimes when you're looking at a northbound destination, that it's a matter of going south before you go north. And I think that given the fact that once you reach Mount Vernon Road, it's down the hill to Straub Parkway, I think that will ultimately be the preferred route from a majority of the citizens in that new subdivision. And I don't think that there really is going to be that much of an increase in traffic going through Ivy and South 55th Place.
Yeah, my thinking was that it's under annexation, being annexed right now, that parcel, and that street's going to be part of it. They're going to be using it as an access road during construction, and that street should be, they should have that street done for everybody to use, the same goes, and we should emphasize that, if nothing else here.
Yeah, and I concur with what the commissioners have said. I fully believe that, you know, the connector through the easement, the BPA easement, is actually going to be narrowed down, and there will be a what's the proper term for it? It's not a speed bump. It's a
speed table.
Speed table, which is a wide
speed bump,
and so, you know. That certainly, when I'm driving, you know, I would go an alternate direction rather than go through a narrowing and crossing a speed table. And I really think when I concur that that connector, and that was, you know, I think that will, that side of the development will certainly prefer to go down to Mount Vernon Road rather than through the neighborhood. But certainly safety is a huge concern. And the other takeaway for me is right now there's only one access to those homes in that development that's there. And that Mount Vernon connector is an essential connector. And without this development going in, from a fire and life safety standpoint, especially during the winter months, you know, they would be in trouble. So my general feeling is the staff have developed findings of fact that are in alignment with the Springfield Development Code. There were some hiccups in the process this time with communication, but those were remedied, I believe. And my general feeling is, and I concur with Commissioner Moe and Commissioner Vos, that we should encourage that Mount Vernon connector as soon as possible in the process. So, any other comments?
Well, one comment is that in regard to that connector, our initial reports indicated that that connector would become a full access street at the time that phase two was to begin. And I noticed in some of the more recent information, it suggested that it was going to be accessible to the public on December the 1st, which I presume is 2014.
So there's a little bit of uncertainty on, as far as the various reports as to exactly when that route will become fully accessible.
Well, that's why we should encourage it be developed as soon as possible. And maybe it should be in there before that's the second housing project starts. It's good. They're going to build it anyway, so let's build it
right
now.
Right. As soon as that annexation is complete, right. So they have to do with two agencies.
Okay. Yeah. Nonetheless, it's temporary, and it's going to happen probably sooner than later. And I concur with the chair. I drive all the time around Eugene Springfield, and I will go out of my way to stay away from speed bumps, and no matter at any cost if I possibly can. So I agree.
The applicant is here, and legal counsel, should we give the applicant opportunity at this time?
If you would like to give them an opportunity to ask if they'd like to extend the record, but you've already begun deliberations, okay. So yes, you may ask them if they would like to keep the record open.
Okay. So. Applicant, would you like to keep the record open at this time to deal with
rebuttal?
Do you need me to state my record, my name?
Yes.
Jesse Lebrun with Hayden Homes.
Can't hear?
Sorry. To deal with rebuttal, I guess to, in regards to, I apologize for coming in late, is in this, in regards to rebuttal to, for additional information that came up at this hearing, or in regards to the information that's already been submitted.
The information's already been submitted. The record's closed.
Yeah. Okay. The only information that I was interested in submitting was.
And it has been submitted.
And it has been submitted.
And that's really the only information that I was interested in submitting.
Okay. So.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm available for any additional questions if you have any.
Okay.
Sounds as if with the comments regarding the road extension down to Mount Vernon and the circumstance that exists today as opposed to once it's annexed, if you want an explanation about what the approval authority is for that, we have people here who can answer that if you'd like.
So that we get a better concept of when that might occur? Is that what you're saying?
No, I don't know when it will occur. It sounds as if the circumstance is when it could be available as opposed to when it may be available based on the construction. So
if the Planning Commission wanted to make that a condition of approval and had it wanted to have a better understanding of that process, what the condition might entail.
I'm gonna say this, and I certainly am not presuming anything for the commission, but what I've heard is we want to encourage that. I don't think it's a condition. I don't think it rises to a condition.
I was sort of being gentle when I said that. Maybe we could be stronger in language.
Yeah. Yes.
Could we ask the applicant what the timetable would be on that?
We can ask. But you know, he
really
is under.
It's hard to say because there's the annexation that they're going to go through, and then depending upon when that gets approved, we can maybe find out or make it a condition of approval as far as the infrastructure to make that a priority. I don't know if that's kind of what you're getting at, but we could probably do that as making a condition of approval.
Well, I guess that there's uncertainty because in various reports, the timing is not. Together, there's different.
I think she implied there's city staff here that may be able to help us answer that question.
Yeah, I'd like to point out that you did ask that question on the 15th, and there was a response.
There was.
Yeah. So I don't know that it's. I don't know if anything's changed since the 15th.
Well, I guess the only point that I'm bringing up is there's been subsequent information that conflicts with that original estimation of time. Okay. So that was kind of what I was wanting to clarify.
Okay.
because there are reports that indicate December the 1st. Now, I don't know whether that's a viable statement or not, or whether it's somebody's guessing.
We didn't state that, did we?
No, it's in one of the reports that, that came out here recently.
Okay.
It was in a conversation that was documented. It was mentioned a number of times in the conversation that one of the appellants had with the applicant.
Right.
And that they had a date of December the 1st as the date when that access point would be.
The reality is the developer is under no, and correct me if I'm wrong, the developer is under no requirement to specify when that road might be available. We certainly, as a planning commission, can make it a condition if we choose to.
That's my thinking.
So, you know, I think it would be good at this time to maybe ask that question. So, is that
that's
reasonable?
Okay.
Yeah.
Once again, appearing before the Planning Commission with pleasure, Jesse Lover with Hayden Homes. So the question posed is, what is our intention for developing that second phase and extending that roadway through?
That's right.
And you've addressed one of the comments is on the table is the annexation. Is that you know, we probably would have been developing this as one phase.
Sure.
If that was not in a county who had yet to be annexed in. So one of the challenges I see is that if there is a condition placed to extend that road now, I don't know if we'd be able to do that without the annexation and going through that process. Our intention right now is we are proposing, we have before you a 25 lots subdivision, and there's an additional, we anticipate an additional 40 lots approximately in the second phase. That is, we're going to be using those lots quickly. The pace that right now we have right now is we anticipate be right, we want to be right before you hear again at the same time next year with the next phase. Now, again, if the market were to have a sudden downturn, I mean, there are economic realities that do impact that. If the market does have a, and the sales velocity slows down, you know, that might get slowed down somewhat. But right now, we anticipate falling through right afterwards. And so we would anticipate that going through right away. Currently, you know, we are putting infrastructure in for some of that, but we feel that we might be limited in what we can do because of that, the issue of the annexation. But our intention is to continue right along as fast as we can.
Question?
Yes.
So are you able to use it for construction use even though it's not annexed?
We have, with the county, we have a temporary access permit for construction only.
Right.
And that's to bring construction traffic through off of that, but that's it. And I believe it serves as, I don't have my engineer here with me, but I believe it also serves as a temporary fire access road, a secondary road. And that the alignment of where that is to be located is to concur with that future road right-of-way alignment.
Okay, good.
Yes.
I don't think there's any question what your intent is in regard to that road. I think the main question that we were focusing on is the timing.
Right.
Now, the thinking is that you will have approval for annexation before next summer. So the timing would be is to what point in time you actually look at creating that access point as a full access street.
Well, my response to that would be is that annexation process is, we're already starting that second phase, is the way we look at that. And you know, ideally what we would like to see is to be able to build this first phase and then continue right on through, and that annexation time frame will go through, then we'd have the subdivision application and construction drawings, the whole bit, and we would just continue seamlessly onto that second phase. But if we were to wait, if we had to wait through the annexation and that whole process to be resolved, that would have a significant delaying effect on this first phase.
Sure. Question for you. As part of the second phase development, is the infrastructure and the road first on the agenda once you have planned approval and you're ready to roll with construction?
Well, there's the site, there's, when it comes to the infrastructure for that site, you know, there's not a whole lot of infrastructure. For example, the pump station we're putting in already with this phase one.
Sure.
As we go through, the first thing, the way we would develop a site is we would go through the land use process, obtain our permits, then we'd first grade the site, and that would be putting in the road beds, things like that, and then we would start to put in the infrastructure. You have to put the storm in, you have to put everything that goes in below the street before you can put the street in. I suppose you can do it backwards, but it's not very efficient. So, and so that's,
we do that all the time now.
We try and avoid that wherever we can. But that would be the process. We would be going,
That'd be the first part of phase two.
Getting
that road, getting the sub in, and getting the road bed in, and getting
it. It would be. I would say, I'm giving some rough approximations, but what I would anticipate is that next June or July, if the construction's the sequence that we're seeing right now, we would start development and earthwork operations on that second phase. And it'd be about a 3-month process, and then we would have all of the infrastructure in. You have a site that has some slope to it. And so we're going to have to grade that. And so we'd have to do those kinds of work first before you put the road in. So I don't want to say that we're going to come out very first and put just that road section in. We have to, it's part of the process.
Sure.
But there's not a lot of infrastructure there. It's the roadway and utilities and things like that. The larger offsite, or the larger infrastructure, the stormwater detention ponds, the pump stations,
it's
those
all
are
part of phase one.
Or part of phase one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it would be a quick development cycle.
What is the timeline when the annexation will be completed, city staff?
That's above my pay grade. Thank you.
Thanks.
Jim Donovan, planning supervisor for the development review group. I believe we have completed the pre-submittal procedures. We're waiting on the submittal of the application. The annexation application process takes approximately 60 to 75 days to complete. That's getting it in, reviewing it, putting it through staff review, scheduling it on the City Council's monthly agenda. We hold an open date every Monday or every first meeting of the month with Council to process annexation. So we're able to move them through fairly quickly.
However, the Council is now off for their summer recess.
Right. So I think Mr. Lovren's sort of rough estimations, without putting him in a box, are fairly close, that given he's in construction season right now, if he picks up annexation in a month and then goes through the subdivision process for phase two, it will be fairly straightforward. We'll be looking at, you know, a similar construction season sequencing next year. That's completely conceivable.
Okay.
I've seen annexations in Springfield happen in one day, a long time ago. One day. My thinking is that there's going to be a construction access, so all of that traffic is going to be coming in from that angle while they're building the new subdivision right now, and they'll also be for the old one. At that, so there's not going to be any additional traffic in the existing residential area. As those houses are built, they're going to start to fill. They're not going to fill very fast. In the meantime, they're going to get annexation approval. They're going to be able to punch that street through and start building on the second part of the subdivision. And the traffic's, there's going to be very little traffic impact on the existing.
Yeah. Those houses, building phase one houses.
Plus, there's still plenty of capacity for it anyway.
How do you feel about that, Commissioner Lose?
Well, I agree with, I agree with that. I think that because of the sequencing of construction, that by the time there's really a significant number of people that have moved in and are needing to go back and forth, that all of these points will be resolved and we'll have a full alternative access before the crunch comes.
Yeah. I'm comfortable with thinking that's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't sound to me like we have consensus around a condition of approval based on the sequencing and the logical time frame that phase one will build, and phase two, first part of phase two development is going to be the connector road and then build out of phase two during the next building season. And by that time, hopefully some of the houses, phase one houses, will have begun to fill, but you know, the impact is going to be gradual. Pretty minimal and gradual. Okay?
I think the other thing as well is that in discussion about whether this be a condition of approval, that applicant already faces a significantly long list of conditions of approval already.
Yep. So, other thoughts? Hearing none, I certainly would entertain a motion.
I've got a motion. Based on the record, the Planning Commission moves to approve TYP 241-00004, Hayden Homes tentative subdivision application for Laurelwood subdivision, and affirm the director's decision, findings, and conditions of approval with the following modifications. Remove the criteria and applicable findings stated in D.2 overlay districts and applicable refinement plan requirements. Modify the last sentence of the second bullet found in condition of approval number 19 to provide that Hayden Homes acquire an easement across tax lot 18-020-04-00-00307 or an alternative satisfactory to sub.
Okay, so it's been moved by Commissioner Kirschman, seconded by Commissioner Saladay, that we approve with those conditions or changes. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? One. Okay. So the motion carries. We have approval. Do we have any reports on to next order of business?
Since last meeting, really?
Yeah. Actually, there's one. I have one. I attended a Team Springfield meeting last night with the City Council and the Park District and the School District, and the mayor did a great job talking about things that are occurring in the community, and really appreciated that. If you don't know what Team Springfield is, I'm sure you all do, but the Park District, the School District, Sub, and the City meet on a biannual basis and talk about things that we can do or they can do collectively, and how they interact together and can support each other in their collective plans. So it's a good process. So. Okay. Upcoming meetings. Do we have any upcoming meetings, or are we gonna?
September 2nd.
Yeah,
we've got a
break.
Next scheduled.
Okay. Possibly. Okay. We do have one item of business that we need to take care of, and that is approval of the minutes from the July 15th work session and regular session. Those were provided to commissioners by Brenda. Hopefully you've had an opportunity to review those. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
The minutes were done very well. I know it took a lot of work to do it, and I know that. She spent a lot of hours doing that, and I move to approve that.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, moved by Commissioner Moe, seconded by Commissioner Bose to approve the minutes of the July 15th work session and regular session. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. We stand adjourned.
So it's 02, not 20.
Right.
Okay.
Did you know that?